From Builder Studios, this is Colors of Social Media Podcast, a podcast for budding digital marketers and small business owners who not only use digital marketing, but actually practice it. I'm your host, Enoch Robobo Appiah Jr. And today I have with me, Alberta Akuya Esiama.
What's your role, babe?
My role? I mean, right now I'm a senior accounts manager, but I'm transitioning to strategist. Yeah, so my current role is senior digital account manager.
Right, for Dentsu Ghana.
For iProspect.
For iProspect, okay. Yeah. But then it's still part of Dentsu Ghana group.
Exactly, yeah, it is.
So I got that right, the iPro.
You got the iPro.
All right, so what most of you don't know is that Albi is actually my boss when I was at the agency side, and she was leading, you know, a stellar team to run campaigns for brands like I had a campaign with her on too.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, basically, this episode is sort of a continuation of what I had with Seton and Black OG. You remember last two episodes, we talked about Meta Ad Manager, and our conversation with her was solely on Meta Ads Manager. But this time around, Alberta, coming from the agency side, I think she'll be the best person to talk about all the platforms, you know, the ad platform that agency use. So basically, this conversation will surround that topic with Alberta. Alberta, thank you for coming.
My pleasure.
All right. So how have you been doing, by the way?
I've been good. You know, agency life is it's quite stressful, but sometimes it gets, you know, a bit relaxed, and it's fun sometimes too. So I've been good.
All right. So, Albi, you know the topics that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Right. We are coming to talk about the major advertising platforms that you use, mm-hmm. you know, for your clients in the agency. So basically, I want you to tell us about your interactions with these ad platforms like Meta Ads, Google Ads, and all that. How do you, you know, work on them? What is the main thought behind you choosing a particular ad platform to use for your clients?
Okay. So it all starts with the client, really. So from the brief we receive from the client, the brief tells us basically what the client wants to achieve, right? And it could be for a campaign, or it could be generally what they want to do, right? And so, for instance, if the brief said that they want to drive more awareness, so I know that, okay, then what I want to do is reach a lot of people. So then I look at all the platforms that are available to me. Where do I find the most people, right? And even before that, in the brief as well, the client would have mentioned who their target audience is. Yeah. So if the client is saying that my target audience is females only 18 to 24, where can I find females only 18 to 24? So then this is how we start. We start by looking at the target audience, and they're looking at the numbers across the various platforms. Now, Meta being one of the biggest social media platforms, we know that definitely the numbers would be there. But then that is just one app. So then going beyond Meta, where are the other places that we can find people? We know that people tend to really go online, read about things that they are interested in on various like apps and websites. And we also know that people like to play games, listen to music, things like that on different apps. So then we look at, okay, so how do we get to these people on these platforms? And that's where Google Ads comes in. And with Google Ads, we're able to serve banners. So these are, you know, just the static banners that would come across these websites and apps. The images that you'd see. So if you go to Ghana Web, you'd see probably a static image for maybe like an apartment or something like those are the banners. And on various websites as well, you see them at the bottom. And even on apps like Truecaller, if let's say you receive the call, you'd see that little banner beneath the name of the person. Yes. Those are some of the static banners that we can place. Then there are the animated banners, which are more in the form of like HTML ads, right? That's where you see a bit of movement, you know, you can play around with the things like that. Then we have more of the interactive banners as well. Yes. So those are the various things that we're able to do with Google, right? And even beyond that, we're also able to place videos, programmatic video that will also show across these apps and websites, right? So then we've covered Google. Then we think about, okay, so females 18 to 24, where else can we find them? Do they like to watch videos? Then we know that, okay, definitely YouTube has to come in there. You get it. So then we also, you know, place videos, you know, the bumper ads, the 6 second ads that will play before your video. Exactly. And then if there are people that like to watch very long, you know, episodes of things, we'll look at in stream as well, play some videos when we get maybe half of the video or towards the end where the actual gist, you know, is gonna happen. Yeah, so we look at all of that. And then so now we've covered Meta, we've covered Google Ads, we've covered YouTube. Then we think about, okay, so if they are the loudest people, they want to get their opinions across, where would they like to go to do this? Then that's where Twitter comes in. So then we also look at the Twitter Ads Manager. How can we serve the ads to show up within the trends, within like the timelines? How can we show up in a different way where we are even causing some kind of commotion? And that's where you see that sometimes they have this thing called the hash emojis, where you see that the Twitter, the like button, it can like switch up in a different way. So there's so many ways that we can get that kind of awareness for the brand, right? Then there are some other platforms, privately owned vendors as well. Those ones we don't tend to use a lot because of, you know, limited inventory. But where we're dealing with like a very, very niche target audience, like maybe only Muslims or something like that, then you'd want to consider, oh, maybe this guy has a website that posts things that is mainly for Muslims. How can we partner with him to just like place our ads there? Yeah, so these are some of the ways by which we go by to place our ads. Yeah,
I mean, with your submission, I got some things out of these platforms, you know, some differences. You made mention of Google Ads, what you call it, Meta Ads, and Twitter.
Yeah.
But then I want you to focus on the key differences between, you can just pick a couple of these platforms, the key differences between these platforms, how they operate in what they are offering to clients. So what are the key differences between them?
So for Meta, one of the things that makes Meta ideal is the engagement angle, because you're able to speak to your audience and have them speak back to you in the form of comments or reactions. And that's one of the things that makes it unique, because then with Google Ads, there's no comment section under there. So, but that's the main difference for Meta. With Google, it has to do with wide inventory. It's massive. And even in recent times, brands are moving from Google Ads to DV360, which has an even better or massive inventory. You get it. So that's like the main specialty that Google has. And then we go to Twitter. With Twitter, it has to do more with conversations. So you want to come up in conversations, you want to drive conversations, you want to be the one to really start the conversation around like your brand. That is where you look more at Twitter, because it doesn't really have the numbers. I think in Ghana it's about 2 million or so. It's not a lot of people.
Abi, before you continue, just between me and you, do you still run campaigns on X or Twitter or whatever Elon wants us to call?
So far, most of the brands know, but I think the last campaign that we did on X was for they wanted a bit more engagement because they were doing some, you know, good things.
Yeah.
So they wanted like positive sentiments. They wanted to come and say, we're happy for you. We're proud of you. We're glad you're doing this for our community, things like that. And they got that. I think Twitter in a way can do that, but then you have to really control the narrative, because then it can easily switch to something else. But most of the brands don't tend to do Twitter anymore, you know. It's not as it used to be. If anything, they just want to trend. They are not really interested in running the ads. Yeah.
I mean, I like that you just focused on Meta, Google Ads, and Twitter.
I was going on.
Okay, go on, because I know you are an international person. You probably are using some platform that don't run in Ghana. So yeah, if you want to go on to
Okay, all right. But before we get to the other platform, there's LinkedIn as well. Yeah. And we know that LinkedIn is more for the professional community, you know, if you want to reach people who are very corporate-minded, who are trying to put their business out there. So that's one of the things that makes it different from the other platforms. And one thing about LinkedIn is that you're also able to target people based on their titles and based on their seniority. I've seen that Meta is able to do that as well, but they're not able to do that as perfectly as LinkedIn does, because you don't have your Facebook account with digital account manager. No, Meta is a place where you're going to catch up with your friends. So with LinkedIn, they are able to clearly call out people's roles and you can target them based on that. Yeah. And then now we can go out. So we have the Ad Colony. So Ad Colony is also a DSP, basically. That
is DSP? I beg. Please. The abbreviation. Disintegrated for me.
So it's a demand side platform, basically. So for instance, Google is a DSP. Yeah, it just allows us to serve ads to various people, whereas if, let's say, you owned the website, then it's a different case there. About Ad Colony allows us to serve more interactive ads, basically. So ads where you can see the video, you can click on it, you can basically interact with the video, you can scroll. Right.
Like you can scratch. Exactly. Maybe they'll be like, catch this.
So that is more Eskimo, where it's more rich media. Eskimo. So I haven't even gotten thank you for reminding me. So Ad Colony more is like, maybe it's a video, right? And then there are like cues in the video. So it could be like a video of like maybe a car, Mercedes Benz or something. And then when it gets to the dashboard, there'll be like a hand button that says click. And then you can click and say, maybe this is a waterproof dashboard, something. So it's an interactive video sort of. And they also have some really cool end cards and things like that. But then we go to Eskimo. So one of the things that makes Eskimo stand out is the rich media that they're able to offer. I mean, you can do rich media with like DV360 as well, but with Eskimo, they specialize with like an in-house staff that would actually build, you know, the look and feel of the game. And rich media is essentially the interactive games. So, you know, you can see like a game where it says maybe scroll here, maybe scratch this, maybe fill the cup, maybe open the cork, something.
I remember when, you know, I was working with you on...
Yeah.
We ran some with them.
Yeah.
And you have to pull... It was then? Well, what like company the was that?
I think that was...
Yeah, you had to mix the ingredients to get a cup of...
That's unique. And I know that Eskimo also provides some additional data, like telco data, that most of the platforms don't provide. So then for that, it's ideal for like brands that, you know, are very telco focused. You're able to tell which of your audiences are, you know, within this MTN or Vodafone category, and you can work with that data. Yeah, they also have some cool things, but those are the two main things that stand out when it comes to Eskimo. Let me see, have I left anyone out? I mean, we also have TapTap Digital. They are more in SA. And for them, what we're able to do with them is they're also able to do the social display. So social display is essentially taking posts on social and then placing them on various websites. Yeah, that way you're able to get a wider reach. Yeah. I mean, I know that Eskimo is also able to do something like that, but then we haven't really done that with them. So TapTap is the main, And we also have Rebel that's able to do social display as well. But they can also take that maybe video or image on social media and then post it on various websites.
So if I'm not mistaken, you've mentioned like 5 platforms.
Yeah, let there's me even count. More.
Yeah, I know you. There's even more. But let's stick to the 5. So you've talked about Meta Ads, Twitter, LinkedIn, Ad Colony, TapTap,
YouTube,
Eskimo.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm missing one.
I think Rebel as well.
Rebel. All right. Yeah. Now I want us to focus on their strengths and weaknesses here. Based on the marketing funnels, just the top level awareness, right? So when it comes to awareness, which of these platforms would you advise me to go on if I want to reach like mass audience with my comms? Which of these platforms will you advise me?
Okay, so for awareness, Google Ads is the way.
Wow.
Yeah, display banners, that's very good. And you're able to get a very low CPM. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm jumping into what that's explain what CPM is.
We'll
get
them.
Yeah, basically you get to pay very little for how much you're getting.
Yeah,
because it's a very wide inventory. Yeah.
Then we're talking about strength and weakness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the strength of
Google
Ads.
So that's the strength for Google Ads.
What would be the weakness?
That's a good question. So a weakness would be that you're not able to see reach numbers for certain countries. Now, because we're all in Ghana, that may not be like an issue. But for me, running ads across different countries, I'm not able to see reach for countries like Cote d'Ivoire, Burkina Faso. I'm only able to see reach for Ghana, Nigeria, and Senegal. And that is a weakness because then you can't really estimate the unique people that your ads are reaching. You can just tell that these are the number of times that my ad has been saved, which is impressions. And that is a major weakness. Yeah. When it comes to maybe for people in Ghana, a major weakness could be in terms of setup. There isn't much knowledge out there about like setting up Google Ads. People feel like it's very technical. It really isn't, but I feel like that is what makes it a disadvantage because then people feel like they have to like try to do so much to be able to set up these ads and you don't really have to. It's quite simple. Yeah. And then when it comes to the targeting, it's a bit technical because then you cannot layer demographic targeting on top of psychographic, on top of keyword targeting. You end up not reaching anybody. Yeah. So then you have to take your time and monitor. So it's like a learning and unlearning where maybe you try with demographic. If it's not working, just go with maybe topics or just go with audience segments or just keywords.
Yeah.
So those are, yeah.
Remember, I recently ran a campaign. I mean, although they've been advising us to do broad targeting and all that, not AI, machine learning. Stubborn Academy captain, I ignored that and I was going, you know, laser focused targeting. I ended up not getting any impressions. So yeah, I had to dial down, you know, go the broad targeting,
the Broadway.
So moving on, you know, you made some key points here that not all the markets have these platforms, you see. So I want us to focus on Google Ads, right? Meta Ads. And we can talk about Twitter and LinkedIn too. So just these four platforms, Google, Meta, Twitter, and LinkedIn. So what are the ad formats that they present to the users, user in this case advertisers, for them to make an impact with their campaign? So basically, this question is basically the type of format, the ad formats and the creatives that these platforms offer us. What are those?
Okay, so for Meta, one of the ad formats that are ideal is basically the feed. You want to show up on the feed. And in recent times, we've seen that they've been pushing reels a lot. And this is because we've seen that short form video is doing well across all the platforms. We've seen that on YouTube with shorts. We've seen that on TikTok. And then now we're seeing that with Meta with reels. And so then reels have also become key. So you want to show up on the feed. And you want to show up on the reels. And with reels coming in, you realize that there's a lot of 9x16 you know, placements. Yeah, because then one thing that we realized that people tend to not really like enjoy watching the video when it's just that little box. They wanted to feel the screen. That's why I bought the phone.
Yeah,
I wanted
of course
to feel the screen. You get it? And so then that's one thing that brands need to really think about beyond just having your 1x1 and 4x5 ad formats or placements or sizes. You have to also bring in the 9x16 to really show that enjoyable, you know, view whilst your audiences are watching. Yeah. So that's for Meta. For display, I mean, there are several like dimensions. The banners do really well because they just straight to the point, static, right? And for the banners, I know the size that really does well is about, I think, 300x250.
Yeah,
that's that little
yeah
box.
It's like it can fit on a mobile at the same time fit
exactly
on the desktop.
So it always has a lot of impressions. It always does really well. So you have to make sure that if I know the Google sizes are a lot, some people are not able to resize that many. So it's important that you always have at least 300 by 250 in there, because that is the dimension that does a lot, that does really well. And then for LinkedIn, well, I think you mentioned
Twitter and LinkedIn.
So for LinkedIn as well, feed, you want to show up in the feed, right? That's where most people go to. They go and look at their timeline. So you don't really want to not be present in on the feed. Yeah. And then for Twitter, it's a bit dicey, you know, because most people open their Twitter and they go straight to the trends.
Yeah.
So it's a bit hard to really tell where you have to be, because then it's a bit hard. I think that ideally go with all the available formats or placements, and then let Twitter optimize.
We learn. Exactly. After all, that's what our job is.
Exactly.
We execute, then we learn.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to go. Now, talking about campaigns, right? I know creatives play a key role. I mean, I'm a media person. I know all my technicalities, my placement, my platforms and all that. But then for the campaign or all the technical sides to communicate to the audience, I know creatives play a key role in that. So this question is for you to debunk this for me or to agree.
Okay.
How important is the creative in campaign execution?
It's a very interesting question. I think the creative is very important. I mean, we know that media and creative are always fighting, because if your creative is not good but the money is there, people will still see it. If your creative is amazing and there's no money, nobody will see it. So there's always that fight. But then when the creative is amazing and the media is there, it does well. So I believe that creative is very, very important. And we see that come across, especially with engagement campaigns, where we see that sometimes even before media has kicked in, the engagements are going wild, because then the creative is already resonating exactly with the people. People are already trying to, you know, say what they have to say, because the creative makes sense. It's relevant to them. Yeah. So I think creative is important. I don't think it's more important than media.
That conversation is for another episode.
It has to be for another one.
Maybe I'll bring you, media person, and bring, I think Techi will be great in talking this out. You know, Techi, my first episode.
Yeah.
I think he will love this. Then you just, that's right. I'll just open the floor for you too. I'll be let's talk about budgeting and basically budgeting. What advice would you give? Do you have for businesses in terms of budgeting? You know, the business have given, as you said, provided a brief. You have proposed a platform. Now, obviously, you have to also propose a budget. What thought process goes into the budget proposal when you are, you know, talking to your clients?
Yeah, so at Dentsu, we have a very meticulous way of putting together our planning. And I mean, I don't know if that's ideal for small businesses, because we are planning on a much larger scale. But I think I can just take us through that, and I can maybe talk about how, as a small business, you can still learn from that.
Yeah.
So in planning, what we do is we first look at the target audience side that's available for us. So if it's an awareness campaign, right? So we know that definitely Meta display are going to be in there, and then other, you know, high inventory platforms as well, right? And then we look at, okay, so if my audience is 18 to 25 million female, how many of that exists on these platforms? So then if maybe it's 2 million on Meta, maybe 10 million on display, maybe 6 million on display, right? Then we say, okay, so for me to really make an impact, what percentage of these people do I have to reach, right? And across industry learnings, we've seen that for you to make an impact, ideally, you need to reach about 70% of your audience, right?
Yes.
So then what we do is that, okay, so then what would 70% of this number be? Exactly.
Yes. So common arithmetic.
So the math is very
simple.
So then once you find 70% of your target audience, then you say, okay, fine. How many times do I have to reach them to make an impact, right? And ideally, for meta like this in a week, there's a default of once. Exactly. But then you can make it two if you want, but then ideally one. So then if I'm reaching this person once every week, at the end of the month, we could say that maybe I've reached them maybe averagely three times or four times. So then from a month, you could say, okay, I want to reach this 70% of people four times to make that needed impact, right? Then you could use that to find your impressions. This is where it can get a bit confusing, because in finding your impressions here, what you would do is you would just multiply your frequency by your reach. And I think that it gets people to always think that, oh, if that's the case, then impressions is basically the number of times that your ad is seen, which is wrong, because then the impressions is the number of times your ad is served but not reached. But then that's another conversation.
Maybe
we'll get into that. So now that you know the impressions, you know how many people are going to reach, and you have an idea of the number of times that your ad is likely to be served, then you can now determine what your budget would be. So then there's a very standard formula that we use for this. And essentially in this case, now that we have our impressions, the impressions is always measured per 1,000. So then first, you need to also have your CPM, which is cost per in the impressions or cost per mile. And in doing that, maybe if for us in the office, because we've done that over a long period of time, we have an idea of what the average CPM is, right? But for, you know, an average business person, what you could do is you could just Google what is the standard CPM for Ghana, or maybe for your industry. Exactly. And so then once you have that in mind, then you can now find your budget. And this easy formula, whilst we have the impression,
Alvi, promise me you make this formula boring. The formula you're about to give me. Oh, it will still be boring.
Don't do that.
Okay, give it to me. Give me the formula.
But it's quick math.
Okay.
Because we have the impressions, right? It becomes, the budget is equal to the impressions, right? Divided by 1,000 times the CPM.
But it's not boring.
You see, it's very simple.
So
once you do that, then you're able to calculate exactly how much you need to spend to reach 70% of your audience. And that's just how simple it is.
So sorry to cut you. So it all boils down to the percentage of the target audience on the platform that you want to reach. If you want to reach 70% and the platform it says, then you have to pay $1,000. Then you pay. If you have the budget, you pay. If not, you then reduce your percentage that you just
that's so simple. I think that even regular small business owners could actually do this. It's an easy way to know, you know, how many people you're going to reach and how much you need to spend to efficiently reach them. So that's an easy planning way that we do.
So that is for and then I think it cuts across all the platforms, because CPM is sort of a standard unit for advertisers. So if this is the same on Meta, then it's the same on on Google. All right. So you just have to know the formulas and just send it across. All right. So that is for budgets, right? Now, for you to efficiently use your budgets that this client is saying you can spend, you have to know the bid strategy that you want to go, because right now the budget is there, but then you have to use it efficiently. So what advice do you have for bid strategies that can be used by advertisers on the platforms?
So, I mean, with Meta, you'd notice that we usually just pay for impressions. So even if you're trying to, say, get more link clicks or get more videos or whatever, it's impressions that you are paying for. So what you could do is you could just monitor your ad, see how it's going. Although once your ad is running, you can't really change what you're bidding for. But ideally, bidding for like impressions is good. It works well for us, because then once you change to, say, maybe CPC or CPV, sometimes you realize that then your ad is serving a bit slowly.
Yeah, because you are looking for those who view or click.
Exactly, and it makes things a bit complicated. So ideally for Meta, just focusing on CPM works well. And on Google as well, say you were buying for reach, right? You'd want to focus on viewable impressions, and that will also be CPM.
Yeah.
That's like the ideal. But then if you were looking at, let's say, traffic, that is where there are other things, because then there's the manual CPC, there's the enhanced CPC, and that's get a bit, you know, a bit technical.
That one, they have to come to you, Albie.
Ah, yes. Thank you. They should all come to me. So those are the various like bid strategies that you could employ. But most of the time, simple is best, because then when you try to bring some of the other technical bits in there, it can complicate things. And so then ideally, going with the simple way works. Yeah.
All right.
So with this conversation, is basically we are setting campaign like that too. Now we've talked about budget. We've known the best strategies to use. Now, I want you to tell us how businesses can analyze and, you know, interpret these data. Because once we execute the campaign on the platforms, we get presented with data and numbers. Numbers. I'm focusing on the numbers because I've once had a client telling me, you know, the presentation is all about numbers. But that is what the platform provides. They provide us with numbers. So yeah, how can businesses analyze and interpret these numbers that the platform provide in order to, you know, eventually optimize their campaigns?
So for the past 2 weeks or so, I've been posting everywhere, you know, inviting you, my listeners, to join an exclusive WhatsApp channel I've created for this podcast. Now, I feel like you don't believe me, so I invited a member of the WhatsApp channel to tell you the benefit he's getting since he joined.
My name is Omar, and I'm part of the exclusive WhatsApp channel for Kaleso Social Media. Being part of that group gives me the opportunity to enjoy the content a week before it comes out. I also get the opportunity to ask questions and also get to know who is going to be featured a week before it takes place. If you want to enjoy this, join the WhatsApp group also. Thank you.
Now you believe me? I'm still inviting you. If you want to join the Colors of Social Media podcast WhatsApp channel, tap or click on the link in the show notes. Now this will give you the chance to get all that Omar is saying. See you there.
Okay, so for a reach campaign, when you, let's say, you're running your ad, you go to the dashboard and you go to the reporting side, there are just a few things that you have to look at. First, how many people have you reached? What was your impressions? And then very importantly, what was your CPM? Because you're being charged per CPM, right? And so then once you realize that your CPM, let's say in your planning, you went to look for what the average CPM was. It was maybe 50 cents, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that your CPM is like, well, 70 cents. Wow. Then that's too high. That's obviously like a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
And so then now you have to look at, okay, what am I doing wrong? Who am I targeting? What is the targeting looking like? What is it, the creative? So there's so many things that you have to look at to, you know, optimize accordingly to ensure that you're able to improve the numbers. But so what you want is a low CPM.
Yeah.
The lower the CPM, the higher the numbers, and it cuts across the other platforms as well as the other objectives. The lower the CPC, the better the clicks. The lower the CPE, the better the engagements. The lower the CPV.
So CPE, cost per what, engagement, CPV, cost per videos.
Yeah. And then I have other one, the CPL, cost per leads, and then cost per landing page view. So the lower, the better. And I feel like this is simple. You're going to buy something. If the thing I'm going to buy is 10 CDs, right, and I have 100 CDs, then I can only get what? 10, right? But then if I go and reduce the price to 5 CDs, then I can get more. So what you want is the lower price, the better. Yeah, low price, more. Yeah. So that's how we're able to analyze
the data
and to say that, oh, this campaign is doing well or it's not doing so well. Yeah.
Interesting.
That is, okay. So obviously you are talking about digital objectives. I wanted to pitch in business objective, but talking about it.
I mean, business objectives gets a bit dicey
because they don't share the data with you and
like
that.
Things like market share takes a while to really study and accumulate. Yeah. So most of the time, if the brands share like a brand health tracker, they're able to tell that, oh, okay, this is the time that this campaign ran, this is the time that there was a peak in sales or something like that. But once you don't have that data, you're not able to, you know, in real time work towards that.
And even what do you call it, brand lift studies that Meta improvise and all that.
It tends to be very expensive.
Exactly, it's expensive. And I think it is just also still focused on digital objectives.
Yeah, it is. It's mainly focused on digital objectives. That's the thing. And I think the cost just deters people because nobody has just like $10,000 sitting around. So that makes it harder. For bigger brands, yes, definitely, because they are spending the big money. But for small brands, ideally, brandless studies will not be key. Yeah.
So this year, what do you call it? My first episode with Jason, Kadi, and Techi. The main focus was on AI, machine learning. That was every... Oh, I asked them, they will find a way to slide in AI in. Just find a way to slide machine learning in. The same thing with Seth Ranam too. She talked about AI. Now you coming from, what do you call it? I mean, you using multiple platforms. What emerging trends have you realized across? Don't tell me AI. across all of these platforms. What are the emerging trends that you've realized across these platforms?
I mean, we cannot not mention AI. But then you see, in media now, AI is not like a direct thing that we're using. They are being embedded in the platforms, right, which is why I understand why I said you talk about AI, because in Meta, we've seen that it's being added into, you know, the targeting and the placements and other things like that. So then that makes sense. So for us, we're not directly using AI. Maybe where AI will come to play is when maybe for like the creative side, maybe DALL-E and Midjourney and things like that. But in terms of media, we see more being incorporated in the existing platform. So now I'll put that aside. But when it comes to like new trends that we're seeing, I think I mentioned one, which is the short form video. So the reels, the shorts, you know, the quick TikTok videos, those things have become very essential. So like, now you cannot run a YouTube ad and not have shorts. Like you need to have shorts. You need to have those things very present. And we also noticed that for like the younger generations, podcast have become, we're literally on a podcast. So as a brand, beyond just reaching them across these various websites, you need to go to where your audience is. And if they are on the podcast, then you need to show up on the podcast. That's one thing that we've also, you know, noticed. And I mean, there's the usual, you know, AR stuff, AR filters, things like that. I mean, it's been very limited to cosmetic
brands
and other brands trying to play games and things like that. But I think that brands could really incorporate some of these things into their digital strategies. Unfortunately, I know that Meta's Spark is facing out. So that's sad. But I think that it's still very needed across the various platforms. It helps to create some excitement around your brand, and you know, I guess the audience excited. We're looking forward to TikTok media
coming in
so hopefully we'll be able to run ads. As of now, I mean, we just can't run the app, which is why the Rebel guys come in. We're able to do social display, but then we can't. So let's see how things go.
Definitely, you are in the advertising space, right? So with all of these trends, you read about it. There are, what do you call it? Oh, this series that Dentsu said, Thought Leadership? So Dentsu Thought Leadership. Basically, you will get it. So you are in the space and everything. And heck, even Setonam can't even tell you because you work on her platforms too. But what about the businesses, small business owners? My listeners, they are all small business owners. How do they get, you know, all this information? How do they stay updated on these new trends that is coming on? How are they gonna, I mean, they can do their Google searches, but I think maybe coming from you, there are other ways that they can learn about these emerging trends. So how can they do that?
I mean, you've already even listed the ways. This podcast is a way. I think that once there's that eagerness to learn, you can find the knowledge anywhere you want. And one thing about Dingsu is that they actually publish some of these thought leaderships online. So what you could do is that essentially at the beginning of the year, you could just, you know, search what are the digital trends that are going on now. There are a number of like sites that are always, you know, pushing out this kind of information. Data Reporter, they might not give you trends, but then they'll give you some updates in terms of the digital space. Are people now moving to LinkedIn? Are they now moving to Twitter? You know, that kind of information you can get from Data Reporter, and they tend to update it for the entire year, and it helps a lot. So I think that the Google searches is a good way to go about it. If you could subscribe to some newsletters as well, it helps. That way you're constantly being reminded. I know Neil Patel has some newsletters that come in from time to time as well. So then I think sticking to those helps as well. Yeah.
So Abby, let's talk about performance metrics. Which key performance indicators should advertisers closely monitor on these different platforms?
Okay, so I mean, they're the standard metrics that cut across. So when we're looking at, say, awareness, right? Definitely CPMs are something that you want to look at. You want to look at reach, you want to look at impressions, and then CPM. Although there is a bit of CPMR, but that's a complicated, you know, discussion. So CPM should be the focus for awareness. And then when we come to, say, engagement, most people tend to add awareness and engagement, but then if you separate them, then for engagement, you'd want to look at post engagement. You'd want to look at your CPE as well. And for post engagement, you know, that it includes a number of things. That's where your likes, your comments, your saves, your link clicks, there's even a bit of video in there. That's where they all sit, right? So that's under engagement. There's also a bit of WhatsApp. So, you know, when you want people to click to WhatsApp, sometimes it also falls under engagement. So this is more for like Meta, right? And then, so engagement is mainly Meta. Yeah. For the other platforms, it's a bit similar, but then they wouldn't have some of the things that Meta has, right? And then we have things like consideration. And under consideration, the main metrics that you want to be looking at is if you are driving traffic to the website, you want to look at link clicks. If you have a pixel installed, you want to be looking at landing page views, right? That's like the extra layer. Yeah. And then under consideration as well, you could also look at, let's say if it's a video and you want people to watch the entire video, do plays. It's a good metric to look at. So for link clicks, as you're looking at link clicks, you're looking at CPC as well, which is cost per click, right? And then for video, as you're looking at do plays, you're also looking at your CPV or cost per do play. Yeah, so that's under consideration. There are some other things that also come to play, because then there could also be calls on WhatsApp under consideration as well. Then we have some other things like for conversion, right? You can measure sales. That is if you have a shop link to your Meta. So most people don't tend to have that. So for Ghana, I think we can leave that. But then if, let's say, you were maybe trying to get data, so maybe collect leads under consideration, then leads is something that you look at, and you also look at your cost per leads as a way to track how well you're doing. Yeah,
that is the cost that you pay every lead acquired.
Exactly, every lead acquired. Yeah, those are the main things that you'd be looking at for, you know, performance. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about integration here. How do these platforms integrate with other marketing channels like social media, email marketing channels, content marketing channels? How do these platforms integrate with them?
Okay, so Meta integrates really well, and we've seen that, you know, across board, especially when it comes to tracking.
Yeah.
Right. You're able to link to other third-party sites to really check attribution and things like that, because then Meta gives you that pixel code that you can easily just copy and then paste it across board. Yeah. When it comes to, say, email marketing as well, with Meta, they have this, there are these tools. So there's one that someone told me about recently. It's called ManyChat, where you are able to incorporate that with Meta, and then it links straight to like the email. So it's a very clever way to go about it. And there's some other third-party tools that you can also integrate with Meta. And then for Google, you're able to link that with your Google Analytics to get more data. So then your Google Ads links to your Google Analytics, and then you also have your website that's always already connected to your Google Analytics as well. Yeah. And then let me see. And then I mean, for your typical Meta, your Meta account or your social media, Facebook and Instagram, is linked to the Meta ad account, which is how you're able to run these ads in the first place. Yeah. And so then that's like how you do it. I know that a lot of people tend to do Boost on Facebook and social and on Instagram, but yeah, please create an ad manager. Yeah. Boost is not the way, because even from personal experience, I've noticed that when you actually create an ad manager, you're able to get more results with as little as even $10, whereas you'd boost and you reach like, well, 6,000 people. I mean, yeah, so you link your Facebook and your Instagram account to the ads manager, and then you're able to do this, and you can also link it to your CRM tool. But those are like, I think those are for bigger brands who want to really collect like a lot of data. So they have like several tools, like maybe Hootsuite or things like that, that are linked to their social media, so they're able to better track. Yeah. And across the other platforms as well, there are several third-party tools, although most of the time for small businesses, I mean, that may not be the focus. For bigger brands, yes, because they want to track on a large scale. Yeah.
Let's talk about challenges here. I'm sure you work with a lot of businesses, and these businesses, they definitely have a challenge, and that is the reason why they came to you. So what are some of these challenges that these businesses encounter that you've realized, and how can they overcome this?
Okay, so like we don't shade, but one of the first that we've noticed is that some businesses tend to be very creative driven, and in doing that, they tend to leave media out of the picture, or they don't pay a lot of attention to media, and that can be an issue, because then you can have the best creative, I think I said this before, and nobody will see it because then there's no media. And someone could have like a medium looking, an average looking creative, and because they're putting money behind it, a lot of people will see it. So I think that that can sometimes be a challenge. And it's also because sometimes the media knowledge is lacking, because then they're not able to really interpret the kind of results that they are getting. And so then they feel like they don't need to do it. But then that's something that helps you to stand out. Media helps you to stand out amongst your competitors. It helps you to build a presence, because then you could just do media for a promotion and then you're done and nobody knows about you. But then if you're constant, if you have like an always on presence where you're always in our face, we would always remember you, always have you in our mind. Yeah. So one of the challenges that they tend to be media creative focused, and then they tend to leave media out of it. Another challenge is that most people don't have websites, and so then it makes them lose a lot of things. Because right now, if something happened, what I want to do is go to Google and search for it. If I was on my way and I just saw something, I'll just go to Google and look for it. But if you don't have a website, you can't do search ads. You are not popping up on the website. You can't do SEO. There's nothing. Because I can't even run display ads, because then where am I leading the people to?
But Abby, what about those who argue that social media is the future?
Mm-hmm.
What about those?
There's an angle there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because we've seen that even social search is becoming a thing, where on TikTok, we see more people just going to TikTok to look for things. And I've even done that a couple of times, both on TikTok and on Instagram, where I go and look for things. But sometimes it's not specific enough, because maybe I'm looking for where I can get maybe spark plugs and I'm not getting it. But then if I go on Google right now, I'll get somebody on Gigi selling spark plugs. So it's how you show up. Maybe for small business, I get why they'll say that it's not important, because then definitely your goal is not to reach a million people. Maybe you have a small container, you're just trying to reach at least 10,000 people. So maybe the website may not be for you, but in the long term, if you're trying to build a brand, it really puts you out there, because then we're still going to use Google. Even if you can search on Instagram and TikTok, Google is still going to be relevant, because it's one of the biggest, you know, platforms there is. So definitely having a website, now there are tools like Wix and things where you're able to create like your own dummy site, you know, it helps a lot, especially people who are even doing like selling, pure hard selling. It's good to have the website connected to your Meta, that way you're able to track, you know, purchases. You can just take people there. It makes things easier for you. People trust you more when you have a website. So definitely that is also key. And then let me see.
So you've mentioned, what do you call it? They are mostly driven by the creative.
Yeah.
And right now they don't have a website.
Yeah, so not having a website as well. Yeah, I'm thinking of one to add. Let's see. I think that a lot of people are also not collecting data. They're not mindful about collecting data. I mean, for smaller businesses, it's easy for them to. For bigger businesses, it's a bit harder because then, why does want my data? Yeah. Like, why do you want it? But we've seen that with the third party data going away, you know, we're going cookieless and all, you're not going to be able to track that anymore. So as a business, being able to own your data is also good. But then from a small business owner point of view, there's an easy way to go about this, right? And that's where the email marketing comes in, because then once you have data, you're able to reach out to people, just send them quick emails, quick reminders on WhatsApp, broadcast. There's so many things that you could do with that. Yeah, so definitely collecting data. So anyone that comes to buy, you can just ask them permission. Can I keep your data and update you from time to time on things? Most people might say yes, most people might say no. But as long as there's that opt-in, that's your way of, you know, getting consent. You get it. And then people who have like physical shops as well, if someone comes to you, once they're done buying, you be nice to them. Just say, oh, can I have your details? Yeah. Or maybe I want to give you a receipt. And then as when they're done giving their details for their receipts, oh, can I reach out to you? Exactly. Over time, you'll get a lot of data. If you have like even 50,000 people that you can send an email to, that's your way of still being top of mind and getting people. So I think definitely just being mindful of owning some data for yourself is very necessary. Yeah.
Something just clicked with the first one. I think some businesses are also not only focused on the creative angle,
mm-hmm.
some also focus on just media, leaving creative behind, you see. So what I think we should put it out there is that they should go hand in hand,
a good balance.
Exactly, there should be a good balance between creative and the media.
I agree.
I think you are doing excellent.
I agree.
It's neither this nor that.
Yeah,
they should go hand in hand.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. None of you agree. We are not throwing shade, but then yeah,
I
think that is the angle we have to set up.
Yeah.
All right, man. Last question will be for my beginners. Small business owners who want to utilize this ad platform. You are telling them they shouldn't be boosting. You are the second person telling them they shouldn't be boosting on Instagram. Seti advised that, it's best that you utilize the platform. The same thing is coming from you. So I think that's the direction they need to go. Now they want to go into this direction. What advice will you give them?
Okay, so I think the main advice is, nothing is too small, okay? I've seen like ads run where literally it has just spent $1 and we've reached like 50,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah, sometimes you feel like, oh, it's too much money, but it really isn't that much money. So the little that you have, starts with it, you get it. It's by starting that you can even get better at it. Like literally, I have like a side business, you know, that I do my own papa, you know, something small. And I see that the CPMs I'm getting for the big brands, I'm literally getting CPMs of like 0.05.
Wow.
That's a very low CPM. And these people are not spending as much as the big brands that are spending, you know, the $50,000 and things like that. So then you realize that you don't actually need that much. As long as you have little money, you're pacing your ads well, you see that you get better results. And I think that I've noticed about Facebook or Meta in general is when you tend to give it a lot of pressure, it struggles. Yeah. But then when you give it a bit of money, you use the advantage, you know, placements and things like that. You just allow it to run. Yeah. It takes its time. It gives you the best. And over a period of time, you get good metrics and you realize that, oh, people are now clicking. People are coming to your DM. They are asking you questions, things like that. Yeah.
And it's up to you to utilize these questions because someone, I mean, you can't just let them go once they ask about the price or everything. You have to engage with them. But then the platform has done its best to bring you the person. It's up to you to, you know, convert them into paying customers. Okay. All right. So one more thing before you leave. Before you even leave, thank you so much. I love the submission as always. But then before you leave, can you share some of the best practices that you've been using to maximize results for your clients?
Okay, so one of the key things has to do with how you pace the campaign, right?
I see. How, when you say
so
pace,
how long your ads would run for across the various platforms. For display, I mean, you could do like 2 weeks a month, that's fine. But for Meta and the rest, you don't want an ad running for too much of a short time. So ideally, a minimum of 5 days is advised. You also don't want it to be running for 2 months because then that will create, you know, creative fatigue, and then people just get tired of seeing you all the time. That's what happened with, we got tired of seeing them because then it was just the same thing over and over again. So I think keeping in mind in terms of ad duration, how long your ads will run for, those are best practices, because then sometimes you realize that when your ad runs for a short time, your CPMs are so high because you haven't given Meta the time to learn to find your audience and then reach them. Meta is trying so hard to spend the money, but then when you just give it that good time, it's able to, you know, deliver better results. And then another thing that we look at is, we also look at in terms of how much we're spending, right? Because then once you do the planning, which we spoke about earlier, you're able to tell how much you need to spend to reach what you need. Exactly. So then once you're spending lower than that, you realize that you're not getting the results that you need, which means that you need to amp your spend a little bit. And so definitely looking at the spend, looking at the ad duration. And what you could also do is, I've noticed in recent times that instead of setting your budget at the ad set level, setting your budget at the campaign level is also really ideal, because then you really allow the platform to utilize your money effectively. And what you could do is, you could go to the ads column and then just see which of the ads is working well. And that way you can tell that, okay, so then should I just stick with the best performing ad, or do I want all the other ads to do well? So then that way you're optimizing. So you can decide to pause the ad that is doing really well so that the other ads can also get some traction. Or you can decide that if people are loving this ad, why not just show them? Yeah. So, I mean, these are many more things that you could, you know, analyze and then just tweak a little bit to get better performance. Yeah.
But once again, we are, you know, at the whims of these platforms.
Exactly.
We tell them what we want. They give us the results based on the numbers. Then we learn from it.
Exactly. It's always learning. Even for us in the agency, we are always learning. Mm-hmm. It's always a learning and unlearning. Somebody can discover something and then you have to go and take it and go, oh, what does this mean? Okay, then this is how we're going to use it. Then next time, we're talking about it like we came up with this. We invented it. We just learned it like a few days ago. Yeah, we always do that.
So you have to have that open mind. You know, be ready to learn new things and be ready to unlearn some of the old things that yesterday was
very
working
quickly
for you. Quickly.
Yeah.
All right. So, Albie, thank you so much.
I had a good time.